Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chargers showing you what it can be like with well-run organizations, with marquee young quarterbacks, all swimming in the same direction. And then in this corner, wearing teal and just firing Urban Meyer, your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Chris, it finally mercifully happened for everyone in Jacksonville. Their national nightmare is over as Urban Meyer no longer the head coach down there for the folks wearing teal and black. And I know we were surprised it even made it this far, Chris, but I think I'm even more surprised that it took a kicker saying he got kicked in order for this to all go down.
Well, it took that coming out, right? We got that from the Tampa Bay Times and Rick Stroud reporting it. Like, this is something that happened back in August. So it's not as if the organization was unaware that this incident between Josh Lambeau and Urban Meyer took place. But I think the embarrassment of this coming out on top of everything else that Shad Khan has had to try to explain when it comes to his new head coach led to him pivoting his position in the last 48 hours, going from not wanting to make a helter-skelter decision to, we got to fire Urban Meyer because that's what's in the best interest of our organization moving forward. And so right now the priority has to be the coaching search and figuring out exactly who is in that circle of trust when you're going to go through that process, because I think Shad Khan has got to question his general manager, Trent Baalke, as well. Like, he was a part of the brain trust that made the decision to hire Urban Meyer in the first place. So I think you have to take a long, hard look at everything that you're doing in your process if you're Jacksonville in order to make sure that you land on the very best coaching candidate to try to develop Trevor Lawrence and the rest of the young players that you have on this team.
Yeah, it's amazing. Shad Khan's decision-making needs to come under fire here as well. Oof. I heard the thought that he felt betrayed by all this. Like, if you walked into this situation expecting anything else other than what you got from the person in Urban Meyer, you clearly have not paid attention very much to what's gone on, because college football fans would have told you this a while ago.
Yeah, Gojo, but Shad Khan has already let it be known. He only wants to deal in facts, remember? He doesn't want speculation.
Correct.
It's all facts, right? He only wants to deal in facts.
That is right. I forgot. Well, you know what? Let's lay out some of the facts here, because we heard this yesterday from Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence talking about what this team needs to do in order to get past this sticking point.
I mean, you do what you can do, and that's just keep going every day. You try to get better. Like I said before, you play for those guys in there that are all – everybody's working as hard as they can to do everything they can to right the ship. And you just keep plugging away, keep being the same person. I think that's, in the long run, that ultimately wins, just being the same and just consistency. I think I've always believed in that.
Talked about trying to get rid of the drama, all these things. Well, we've got more quotes coming out of Jacksonville's locker room today, Chris. Shaquille Griffin just said that he feels like the Jacksonville Jaguars next head coach needs to be someone who, quote, actually believes in what the players are saying, and that, quote, it's not a one-man show. Like, if this, like, and I'm sure this won't be the last of the things that we hear now spoken honestly now that that force is out of the building, but man, oh man, that says a lot without having to say very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-way street, right? In terms of the relationship, it's Urban Meyer talking at his players rather than working with his players in order to find solutions to the problems that they've been dealing with all season long. Because you don't get to the point where you've lost 11 out of the 13 games that you played without some missteps from both the coaching staff and the players as well. So it's not just an execution issue on the field with the 53 guys that are putting on a uniform, but it has to do with the guys that are wearing the headsets as well. And it seems like that message wasn't well received from Urban Meyer from his assistants, his lieutenants, as well as the players. I mean, explaining the situation that happened with Marvin Jones, where you had to have coaches reach out to him to get him to come back to the practice facility, or the inexplicable benching of James Robinson and Trevor Lawrence having to plead with Urban to get him back on the field because he's one of their best playmakers. Like, you can go step for step with all the different incidents that we've been hearing, and it seems like it's a one-way street in terms of the communication. And we know, Gojo, with today's athlete, that's a no-fly zone. Like, it has to be a situation where athletes feel like they are a part of a partnership that is in the best interest of all involved. And it just didn't feel like that around the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. And I think that's ultimately led to Shad Khan making the decision that he did.
Kenny Angolik Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and you're absolutely right. That's going to be now for Urban Meyer, pro or college, from here on out. Like, the game has changed, and players have more power than they ever have. And so when they see a coach who ultimately, like, when you look at the sins in this spot for Urban Meyer, it's going to come down to he didn't win games. And I've seen people say, and it's true, that if this was a team that was somehow contending for a wild card spot, we wouldn't be talking about this. But, Chris, the lack of accountability that we saw here, blaming assistants for things here, throwing them under the bus, staying behind in Columbus to go party at a bar and get a lap dance after
a team
loss.
Who do you blame for that?
Oh, listen, there's no one to blame from him. Like, it's a lack of understanding of who he was coaching in the decisions he made in that spot, Chris. And that's why, like, you can say whatever you want as a coach. Players aren't dumb. We see what you do far more than hear what you say. Because if the former doesn't match up with the latter, you got issues. And you got people that are more in tune with that than ever. But you know this. A locker room is not a place where you're going to get away with having words that don't match actions. And that was him at every step of the way. When you talk about team and accountability, but then you go hire Chris Doyle. But then you bring Tim Tebow in for a position change. You have the excessive OTAs. You've got a quarterback competition that was one of the dumbest things on God's green earth this preseason. All of that is going to signal the players, hey, he's not really serious about all this. So, Chris, with all that in mind, do you think Urban Meyer ever coaches again?
No, I don't think he coaches again at the college level or at the pro level. Like, I just couldn't see a parent entrusting their child to go play for Urban Meyer. And then we already seen with the NFL, this is not going to work out. Urban had a hard time adjusting to the dynamic of players actually having more of a say, more of a voice, and the guy's actually getting paid and being the face of the franchise as opposed to the coach. So, no, I don't think Urban Meyer is, you know, from a professional standpoint in the coaching realm ever again. Now, is he going to pop up on TV somewhere? Sure. But as far as being a coach again, whether it's college or pro, I don't see that happening, man. Like, I get it. College football is a very seedy place, especially with the way the business is run right now. But I just have a hard time seeing an institution of higher learning decide that they're willing to entrust Urban after all of the missteps that he's shown and the embarrassments that he's left in his wake. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, Chris, I would like to believe that. I would like to believe college football's grown up and seen some things. But, man, like, what we've seen from Urban Meyer this season, it's been bad in a lot of the team-building ways, but if you're going to talk about the things that would really give you pause about sending your son to play for this man, that came well before he got hired for the Jacksonville job, and he was still getting handed spots out here.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to his time at Florida, and he had over 30 players arrested down there during his tenure, and listen, this is a fact, and it's going to be an uncomfortable one, but you had somebody that eventually went on to be a convicted murderer that played for Urban Meyer. At Ohio State, he was a part of a cover-up with one of his assistant coaches that committed domestic violence against his spouse. So this is just a situation where Urban has shown you from a character standpoint, he's not somebody that can be trusted. So why would you then entrust your program, or if you're a parent of a prep player, entrust your child to somebody that's already demonstrated some of the behaviors that Urban has? I mean, the best predictor for future behavior is past behavior. And I think we've got enough of a track record where you realize that Urban Meyer is a real seedy individual.
Yeah, that has been apparent here. And if Shad Khan or anyone was surprised by what they ultimately got, you might have been surprised. I think a lot of us were by just how bad it went quickly on the field, how little they were able to put together. Chris, you're not surprised
though,
at all by
I
that.
I wasn't, though, Mike.
But, like, this bad through 13 games on the field. Like, I expected the off-the-field stuff here, but he's done a lot of winning. You thought he might have adjusted a bit, but damn.
Mike, I knew it was going to go left when he decided that he was going to take Travis Etienne with a first-round pick when he had a running back in James Robinson in his second year that had gone over 1,000 yards from scrimmage as a rookie. Like, I just knew that was – like, there was no need to do that. And you talked about moving Etienne from running back to receiver. Like, I knew that it was going to be bad. Like, that was the – I just didn't know how bad the personal stuff would go with Urban Meyer. I thought he would at least be able to keep it together through his first year, but he wasn't even capable of being able to do that. So – if you're Shad Khan, you got to reevaluate everything and everyone around you when it comes to making a decision about who the next head man should be. And you got to question whether or not you got the right general manager, too, because I don't understand how in the hell Trent Baalke could have signed off on Urban Meyer as this hire. Like, this is the best thing that we can do for a generational talent in Trevor Lawrence? Come on, man. Come on.
Those are going to be the questions, no doubt, that pop up for us looking at this Jacksonville Jaguars organization for a little while here. But coming up next, those questions pale in comparison to the one that I want to ask. We have got an NBA All-Star getting set to step into the boxing ring with a former Pro Bowl running back, and all I want to know is why. We're going to find out next on ESPN Radio.
From the NBA.
We can't coexist on the court. Now I got to deal with the fans.
To college.
Number one player in the country. He is skilled.
JJ and Max have the hardwood covered.
The dude who's 6'10 can get to the rock.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. It all starts weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we have seen these celebrity boxing expos have become a big-time deal, especially as the Paul brothers have really populated this space. And so we've got a unique card getting ready to come up here on December 18th. Former NBA All-Star Darren Williams is going to take on former NFL running back Frank Gore on the undercard of the Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley live on Showtime pay-per-view Saturday on December 18th, this coming Saturday in Tampa, Florida. We're joined now on the Goodyear Hotline by three-time NBA All-Star Darren Williams. Darren, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, Darren. And I think for a lot of us, since we saw this, Chris and I being former football players and looking at this moment here, the question why comes up. I know you own MMA gym in Dallas. Like, when was the moment you decided this was something you wanted to do on a stage like this?
I think when I got the call about 6 weeks ago, it was that moment for me.
Why?
Why not?
There
why
it
not?
Is. There it is.
You know, there- I mean, it's something like you said. I own an MMA gym. I've been training for quite some time. You know, I was a wrestler growing up, so combat sports has kind of always been a part of my life. And you know, I got the call that Frank was looking for an opponent, and you know, it's kind of something that I've always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to do a fight, and not necessarily a boxing match, but you know, that's what was presented to me, and so I jumped on the opportunity.
Darren, as a former football player, I first and foremost want to give you your respect because you could play a lot of sports, but you can't play boxing. So big ups to you for getting in that ring with Frank Gore. That being said, we've seen basketball players in the past jump in the boxing ring. It didn't work out so well for Nate Robinson. He ended up becoming a meme on social media. So I wanted to ask you, is there any added pressure to represent for the basketball players out there in the boxing ring?
Yeah, I mean, of course I want to represent for the NBA family. So, you know, that goes without saying, but also want to represent for me and my family. And, you know, I took this fight camp very serious and, the training, you know, for this very serious. And so, I think that's a big difference from me and what happened with Nate.
Has the training leading up to this made you think about wanting to do this more? I know I saw a comment in an article that you said you thought you'd be one and done with this, but has any part of this kind of grabbed you?
No, I mean, I've definitely enjoyed the process. It's also been a very hard, strenuous process, and something at 37, I just don't know if I want to continue to do. So, like I said, you know, this is kind of this when I took this fight, it was thinking about December 18th and December 18th only.
Darren, I was playing for the New York Giants in the early 2010s when you were emerging as a star for the Brooklyn Nets, really one of the first young stars that franchise had since they relocated to Brooklyn. And I wanted to ask you about the current state of affairs with that organization. What are your thoughts on this Nets team, and what's the ceiling for this group of guys this season?
Well, are we talking about this Nets team with or without Kyrie? Because I think that's the, you know, this is the biggest question right now on them. You know, I feel like, of course, they can be a really good team and have the chance to win it because they have arguably the best player, you know, top two players in the league on their team right now and Kevin Durant. And then, you know, one of the most offensive gifted players in James Harden as well. And they have a very good supporting cast. So, you know, that being said, they need Kyrie Irving out there. I think that's what they envisioned. And so hopefully that can happen this year. I'd love to see Kyrie and all those guys healthy and, you know, playing all together.
Canty and Golic Jr. talking to Darren Williams, three-time NBA All-Star on the Goodyear Hotline. To that end, I mean, being in Brooklyn, being a part of the Nets, how difficult is it playing in that city opposite the Knicks?
You know, I mean, the Knicks are always going to be the Knicks. You know, there's just so much history at the Garden. So many diehard fans and so many, you know, just goes back generations. And so, you know, it's kind of like you're born into the Knicks family. And so I think that's the toughest thing about, you know, the Knicks and Nets rivalry. But I feel like it's starting to, you know, change over. I think there's people that have switched over. I think Brooklyn has definitely got behind the Nets, and so they're catching up, but it's going to be a while before they completely catch up, if ever.
Darren, I know you got to run, so last question from me. What were your thoughts on Steph Curry eclipsing Ray Allen's mark and becoming the all-time leader in three-point makes in NBA history?
I mean, that dude is unbelievable. What he's able to do with the basketball, I don't think there's ever going to be anybody like him. The way he just the purest shooter I've ever seen in my life, and the way he does it, it's not just he's a spot up shooter. He does it off the dribble. He does it in ways that are unimaginable. And so definitely happy for him, and was crazy to see. Great to see.
Everyone, check out the fight again. It's on Showtime pay-per-view Saturday, December 18th, down in Tampa, Florida. Darren Williams taking on former NFL running back Frank Gore. Darren, we appreciate you giving us some time today. Good luck and enjoy it. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, guys.
Darren Williams, three-time NBA. That's a soft-spoken guy getting ready to get in the ring and throw hammers, Chris.
Nah, he sounded like he's about that life, Gojo. Don't let the tone fool you, man. When you asked him why is he doing it, and he clapped back with why not, like that just lets you know this guy is ready for business against Frank Gore. So I'm hoping that OG Frankie G, he got his mind right for this one, because this ain't going to be no easy win.
No, I was going to say, does that get you a little worried? Like, we both talked about this. Like, we asked him about repping for the basketball community. Frank Gore's got to put on for the football community. Like, we have years of pride built up that a basketball player is not going to come into the ring and beat one of us up. But I'm not going to lie, his approach right there has got me a little shook right now.
Yeah, and then the fact that he has an MMA gym in Dallas, like, he knows what those training camps are like. He's about that life. So he grew up around combat sports, and to hear him talk about it that way, I don't know, man. I'm just saying. I feel like we might need to be hedging our bets, Gojo, when it comes to the guys on the gridiron, making sure they come out on the right end of this fight. I'm just saying.
The only thing that makes me feel good about this is I believe it is a four-round fight. And if anyone knows 4 yards in a cloud of dust, Frank Gore.
That's a great point.
That's his magic number. We can rest easy right now. Frank, we really need this. Darren sounds dialed in. I hope fight camp has gone just as well for future Hall of Famer Frank Gore. Coming up next, though, we will get back more into what we've seen today. Urban Meyer, no longer the head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars here. How much blame does ownership shoulder in this, and where does this franchise go next? We will get to that after this word from Indeed. Now, running your own business, it requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. So by the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you get to immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. What's the future for the Jags look like? We'll ask Lewis Riddick next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit progressive.com. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And for more on what's going on around the NFL right now, from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the COVID policies, we're going to talk to our ESPN NFL analyst, front office insider, and one of the voices of Monday Night Football, Lewis Riddick, who joins us now. And Lewis, you wear a lot of hats here. I really want to tap into that front office hat right now. As you look at what's going on with COVID-19 around the National Football League, we just saw tweets from Baker Mayfield questioning the league's protocols, why they're not moving the game this weekend, as we see near 20 Browns players in addition to 20 Washington football team players sidelined by COVID-19. Are you surprised they haven't done so?
No, not, because that's really what's been their stated goal all along, was to not get into the habit of moving games around, canceling games, postponing games. And one of the ways in which they were going to try and do that, obviously, was by expanding practice squad rosters to 16 players. And hoping that that in and of itself, along with enhanced protocols, would keep the virus, you know, at bay, or at the very least allow teams to be able to still field quote unquote competitive rosters so as games wouldn't have to be postponed. Now, obviously that's being challenged right now, isn't it? Because the virus is running rampant and who knows why? I mean, is it this new variant? I mean, I don't know. But I'm not surprised that they're trying to keep things on schedule. Although it does seem pretty dire for some of these football teams. I mean, I could not imagine being a head coach, whether it be Kevin Stefanski or Ron Rivera at this point, those two teams in particular, and trying to figure out how to get ready for a game, how to some kind of reasonable team type of function during the week together to where you could then at least walk through exactly what it is you're going to try and get done for a game. And then go into a game knowing that you're so undermanned relative to what your competition would be that you know it's just not going to be fair and equitable as far as, you know, the players that you're putting on the field. So, I mean, but I'm not shocked that this is the road that we're heading down. The league said that teams would have to prepare for this and have to accept the fact that this is the way things are. They have their reasons for doing what they do. I think we all know what they are. And onward we go.
Lewis, Mike mentioned Baker Mayfield in his comments about the NFL's COVID-19 policy today. I'm all for players having a platform to be able to voice their opinion, but with Baker Mayfield, it seems like he's taken that to a whole nother level. I mean, he intimated that there were some internal issues that has led to the inconsistency with the team's performance the last month and a half. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he walked away from the podium after the Detroit Lions game. His wife has come out and criticized the team's toughness in an effort to support her husband's toughness. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of noise around Baker Mayfield, and the behavior that he's exhibiting is not becoming of somebody that's supposed to be in a leadership position in that franchise. Yep. So I got to ask you, if you were in the front office, how do you deal with Baker Mayfield moving forward?
Well, I mean, Chris, you know that you hope that you have established a relationship with him to the point, to the degree where he doesn't feel the need to or feel like he would be compelled to go ahead and do these kind of things that he knows are only going to serve as to disrupt whatever kind of chemistry, togetherness, cohesion that you have built up, equity that you have built up with your teammates and with the organization overall at a time where you need all those things, because it is a challenging type of season right now. It is, you know, it is the month of December where no one is feeling quite 100%, and people are trying to battle through their own personal issues, whether it be physically and or mentally, because the season is a grind like that. But apparently he hasn't been able to have that kind of relationship with the organization to where he would be able to police himself a little bit better, because he is going to social media. He does have people around him who are spouting off and saying certain things. So what would I do now? Pull him in, talk to him, and say, hey, look, I think we all know that this is not going to be something that's going to ultimately be productive for what we're trying to get done here. It's not going to help us achieve our goal. Now, I mean, most people would say, oh, you know what, it's just talk, blow it off. It doesn't materially affect how you play on the football field anyway. It's just people blowing off steam. That's the new way of doing things. Express yourself, be an individual and all. But look, no, you can't necessarily quantify how that stuff really affects people on the field and how it can affect performance negatively, but you know that it does have an effect. It does have an effect on people necessarily having another guy's back, maybe looking out for him in ways that he normally would. So, yeah, you would try and bring him in. You would try and talk to him. And if he doesn't really want to, you know, if he doesn't want to kind of conduct himself in a way that some of the great leaders that this game has ever seen, whether it be a quarterback or any other position, has conducted himself, then you go ahead and you store that in your memory bank. And then when you start making decisions about the long-term roster construction, you start thinking about that. You make sure that you weigh that and you factor that in as far as, like, how much do we really want to invest in this young man down the road? Is he really going to be the cornerstone, one of the pillars of our franchise going forward? Because don't think for a minute that that isn't stuff that they do go ahead and write down and keep in the back of their mind. Of course they do. And they should. Because Baker knows better.
He knows that this is a tough and challenging time for everyone at this point in time in the season. He's played long enough to know that. And he knows those kind of comments and people around him making any kind of comments that detracts from the goal, the ultimate goal, which is getting into the playoffs and getting to the Super Bowl, is just something that you have to keep to a minimum, to a very, very bare minimum. And this kind of stuff is always circling around this guy. And I hate it because I've been a Baker supporter. But it just seems like it constantly just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back.
Louis Riddick, our ESPN Monday Night Football analyst, with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Louis, we only got about a minute left here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about what we saw today. The Jacksonville Jaguars decide to part ways with former head coach Urban Meyer. I know a lot of us had questions about him coming in, but were you shocked that it only took 13 games for Jacksonville to be able to make this decision?
Honestly, yeah, I am. And I know people will say, well, you shouldn't be. It's Urban Meyer. But yeah, I am. I am shocked because, you know, Shad Khan gave him everything that he wanted, right, to reconstruct that organization, Shad's organization, that he worked and paid for and bought. He gave him everything that he would want to reconstruct it in his image, meaning in Urban's image. Shad swung for the fences. He kind of went the unconventional route. He zigged where everybody else zagged. No one else was going to hire Urban Meyer. I mean, let's be serious. So he just tried something different because he wasn't having success. And what this guy did, given all that absolute power, he just laughed in Shad's face and conducted himself, allegedly, in ways that are unbecoming of a true leader, an NFL head coach, and someone that, you know, would be a stand-up representative of an NFL franchise in the position of head coach. And that just is infuriating to me because there are so many guys, so many people in last year's hiring cycle that were more qualified than him to have an opportunity to lead that organization, who had paid their dues in the NFL, who had done it the right way, who had positively impacted players all along, who had been part of successful organizations, who had a high level of competency, who were on the side. So this guy could come out of the TV booth, back down to the sidelines, walking with his chest stuck out like he was like, you know, he had already done a bunch of things in the NFL. And look, granted, he had a lot of success in college football. That's great. More power to him. So you would think, though, that given all the faith that Shad Khan had put into him, that he would in return would conduct himself as the ultimate professional, a guy who would turn over every rock, work tirelessly, be the consummate leader along the career of what many people consider to be a generational quarterback, as good as anyone that we've seen coming out in college football in the past 20 years in Trevor Lawrence, and do everything right. Of course, and then he doesn't. And everyone's going, see, you should have known better. Well, maybe Shad should have known better. But the fact of the matter is, for him not to fire him at this point in time, given all the things that he did from day one that he got hired there, it's flat out freaking embarrassing. It's just embarrassing, man. And for all the guys who didn't get a chance to lead that organization, who interviewed for that job, I'd be pissed. I would be absolutely pissed because, see, that is what irks people about the NFL when certain guys get opportunities that don't treat it with the kind of respect that it deserves. And I know you two know what I'm talking about. You know how hard it is to even play a single down in the NFL, coach a single game in the NFL, let alone be given the keys to a kingdom of an organization like Shad gave to him. Infuriating, yep. Man. So more power to him, whatever Urban's going to do, and I hope Shad really, you know, looks inward a little bit and goes, why did I do this? How did this go wrong? What do I need to go forward? Who are the people around me that are advising me? Who are the people who told me that this was okay to do, and did I have anybody around me telling me, hey, Shad, you might not want to do that, and really reevaluate his own process, because I would assume that right now he's feeling like, damn, look, I mean, what am where do I go now? That's hard, man.
It's so true. A lot of soul searching have to go on inside that organization for all the reasons that you laid out there. Louis, we always appreciate the time and the insight from you, man. We'll talk to you very soon here. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Louis Riddick, our ESPN Monday Night Football analyst.
Fired That's straight up. Truth right there, Gojo.
Listen,
fired That's
up.
Straight truth right there. Amen to Louis Riddick for what he had to say, because there are a lot of people in this league that don't get the opportunity that Urban had, and Urban squandered it. And it's unfortunate, but that's where we're at in today's NFL, and Shad Khan has got a lot of soul-searching to do in order to get that franchise back on track.
Coming up next, though, Louis Riddick, not the only person upset with the NFL. We'll tell you who next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And as COVID-19 headlines have dominated the NFL, the NBA, really North American sports, because this is still a global pandemic that is happening before all of us, we saw the NFL make adjustments to its COVID-19 policies, essentially stricter protocols as far as day-to-day operations, but when it comes to vaccinated players being able to test out after a positive test and return to play, they have sped up that timeline, again, just for vaccinated players. But Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer of the NFL, also said that those policies would not go into play this week, meaning that players for the Washington Football Team and the Cleveland Browns, who found themselves on the COVID-19 list, where both of those teams nearing 20 players that won't be on the field, are going to be up bleeps creek. And Baker Mayfield, the Browns quarterback, took to Twitter to voice his displeasure, Chris. He said, quote, NFL, make up your damn mind on protocols. Showing up and making only three teams tests, all so you can keep the game as scheduled to make money. Actually caring about player safety would mean delaying the game with this continuing at the rate it is. But to say you won't test vaccinated players if they don't have symptoms, then to randomly pull this, doesn't make any sense to me. Is he wrong here?
Well, I don't know that he's all the way wrong with it, Gojo. The one thing that I would say is, with all the noise that's surrounding Baker Mayfield, I didn't understand why he felt the need to insert himself with this particular topic, with this particular conversation. Like, I get that it's impacting his team. There's an outbreak that's going on. But Baker Mayfield has been at the center of controversy in Cleveland over the course of the last month. And we heard grumblings early this week that he put out there talking about the internal strife that the team was facing and not being on the same page as the head coach. And Kevin Stefanski didn't know what the hell his quarterback was talking about. So you put your coach in a tough spot, and you put the rest of the locker room in a tough spot. And so maybe it could be the right message, but I don't know that I agree with Baker Mayfield being the messenger on this one, because it feels like he's trying to take a leadership position for his club with this particular topic when he's clearly been a divisive force for that same team throughout the course of the last few weeks. So I don't get it. I don't like the inconsistency of it. And so this is one of those instances where I recognize a player has a platform, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you should use it in this way.
Well, Chris, I'm not surprised, though, because it's an easy PR win. Like, pit people against the NFL for not valuing player safety. You're going to get a win with that in the court of public opinion anytime. And for Baker Mayfield, his team's right in the thick of all that, because we mentioned just the guys in the team testing positive. But now, in addition to Baker Mayfield testing positive, Kevin Stefanski, their head coach, testing positive, backup quarterback Case Keenum has now also tested positive, which leaves Nick Mullins as the lone quarterback ready to go for the Cleveland Browns this weekend. So his team's been the one that's affected, Chris, and I'm sure he looked at this and said, oh yeah, this is an easy one for me to go off and win in the court of public opinion.
Sure, that's all well and good, but I mean, if you're one of the team leaders, maybe you should reconsider how you guys go about your business in terms of taking the measures to mitigate spread throughout your team. And I get it, we're dealing with a new variant that's more transmissible, all of those things. But that's why it's important to have strong leadership within your locker room. And it's clear that Baker Mayfield hasn't been the leader that the Cleveland Browns have been expecting. So I'm not going to lay this at his feet, and maybe he has a point. But again, I don't want to hear any more noise from Baker Mayfield just because of how he's handled the last month of the regular season. It's been incredibly selfish on his part.
It has been. I think there is some merit to this idea that these teams are being put in a brutal spot right now, and we know the NFL is not going to move the games. We know that's the reality. Doesn't make it any easier for these teams trying to suit up. Coming up next, though, we'll look at another failed coach in the NFL.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.